In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In letters of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told. I love you, I love you, that's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you, I love you, written in red. Down through God wrote his love with the same hands that suffered and bled, giving all he had to give, a message so easily. I love you, I love you, that's what Calvary said. I love written, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There is no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I love you, I love you, that's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you. I love you, written in red. He loves you.
Amen. Thank you for that special, wonderful song, wonderfully sung. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew and chapter 6. Matthew and chapter 6. I hope you treasure the Word of God. We're in our basic training lessons in Sunday school. If you don't have a Sunday school class, I hope you'll get a part of one. This morning we went over exactly that, the Word of God, the Bible. And so if you would take your Bibles, turn to Matthew and chapter 6. And when you find your place there, if you would please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Matthew and chapter 6. We're going to read verses 19 through 21. I'll ask you to join me, and we'll read these three verses in unison. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read verses 19, 20, and 21 all together, pausing at the punctuation, and we'll do that together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Would you read this with me? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word, for how you've given it to us, and then how you use it in our lives. We're asking now that you would use it again. Lord, be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Give him wisdom. Give him power. Lord, give us wisdom as we receive your word. May we change our lives according to it. And Lord, may we find good success as your word says. Lord, give us wisdom now as we listen. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. As you're seated, would you make sure to turn your cell phone off or silent vibrate and turn it off, or else we will have to hear all the ringtones that you might have there and disrupt the service. So help us out with that. That'd be great. Matthew chapter 6, as we look at this passage this morning, we've been looking at the subject of stewardship and covering that the last few weeks as we start this year. And as we begin the year, am I off? Did I just turn it off? I'm sorry.
We'll start that all over again.
I'm back on. Can you hear me?
Checking 1, 2.
Sorry, having some technical difficulties there. In Matthew chapter number 6, if you keep your Bibles open as we look at the subject of stewardship as we start this year and looking at what it means to be a steward in our lives, understanding that everything that we have comes from God. Amen? Everything, not some things, not most of the things, everything you have comes from God. We have a lot of self-made people. A lot of self-made people today that think that they are everything and that they made it all themselves. There is no one that is self-made, especially because God has given and blessed us with everything that we have in our lives. Again, a steward is someone that manages the affairs of another, that God has given me life. God has given me salvation. God has given me a home and a church and God's word. And God has blessed us with so much, and He expects some things back from the investment that He's made into our lives. We looked at stewarding your heart, making sure your heart is right with God, that you're saved, a child of God, going to heaven, and that you're right with God. Last week, I preached about the subject of stewarding your time with the amount of time that God has given to you, that life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The time that you have, that you cherish, that you live for God every day, every second that God has given to you. Today is your most favorite subject. You were hoping we'd get to this point today. It's a subject of stewarding your money. Stewarding your money. Now, don't leave right now. Give me a moment. If it's your first week here, we probably preach on this subject once every couple of years as a whole. But I want to talk about stewarding your money, stewarding your finances. So please don't tune me out. Give me a moment and maybe you wait a little bit for that. Many people, their lives are centered around this right here. Now, it's a $1 bill. As not, it doesn't get you a whole lot, most of anything today. All right? It doesn't get you anything at the dollar store anymore, for crying out loud, you know? Many people, they live their life for this right here. To get a dollar, earn a dollar, save a dollar, to spend a dollar. Many people, their lives are surrounded around money. You know, it's a sad life, isn't it? Now, I'm not against that, all right? Just to let you know, I'm not against it. It is a necessary part of life. To be honest, a necessary evil in life. There's nothing wrong with money, but the love of money is the root of all evil, is what the Bible says. So what does it mean to steward our finances? And in Matthew chapter 6, this is, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. So many people are living their life to lay up more and more and more treasures on this earth. A bigger home and a nicer car and more things in the garage and all the things that you can get and a bigger bank account. I'm not against the things. It's not wicked to have things. But if your life is centered around all the things that you get, how empty of a life that is. How empty. There's people that are in the entertainment businesses in some way and making even millions or billions of dollars. And they have all the things of life, but the life that they have is so empty and shallow because it's all about the things and not about God, first of all, and not about others. It's an empty life if that's what our life is all about. The mentality that many people have is to get everything I can get, all that I can get, to lay up treasures upon this earth, the more clothes, the more stuff, all the things I can get. But the Bible says to lay not up treasures upon earth. Why? It says moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. On the opposite, on the contrary side, in verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in where, church? In heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven. It says, where thieves do not break through nor steal, where moth and rust do not corrupt, thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse number 21, look at it again. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. It's amazing how much your money and your heart is connected. It's amazing. You think, well, that's maybe why you don't want to hear the message today. I'm not sure. All right, not this isn't a get rich quick or we're trying to get rich, but about being right in the area of our money and the area of our finances. For many people, again, that dollar runs their life. If they can get some overtime, it runs their life. No matter what else is going on, if there's a sale going on, men and women look at sales differently. I don't know if you notice that. You notice that? Women, and not, maybe not always the case. I don't want to throw you under the bus, but I was going to lose money if I didn't buy it because it was on sale. And the man thinks I lost money because it was on sale. And you may look at it differently. Now, men have their areas as well. Don't get me wrong in that. No, your money will not get you to heaven. Right? But your finances can help you to be right with God, though. Are you right with God in the area of your finances, between you and God? I read this. And this is maybe a bit of an old saying, if you will. It says the lifespan of a dollar. And it says $1 spent for lunch lasts 5 hours. Now, again, we might multiply that to at least 10 or 15 because you can't buy any kind of lunch for a dollar. But for sake of the saying here, $1 spent for lunch lasts 5 hours. $1 spent for a necktie lasts 5 weeks. $1 spent for a baseball hat may last 5 months. A dollar spent on a car may last 5 years. A dollar spent for the railroad, that shows you how long ago this saying would be, would last 5 decades. But a dollar spent in God's service lasts for eternity. Again, laying up treasures on all the things that we have in life that's going to burn away, wash away, decay, and go away at some time, but then we're not laying up treasures in heaven. I want to again challenge you about the area of stewardship in your lives. We've been covering the basic training lessons for our Sunday school time. If you haven't already, come at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Find a Sunday school class to go to. We have Sunday school here in the auditorium, adult Sunday school class. We have our Senior Saints class just down our hall. And I encourage you to go there for our Senior Saints, Senior Citizens. Our teen class is all in the back. Our children's ministry is all in the back of the room here. All of our children's ministries are meeting in different places all around the property now. Sunday school hour is a great teaching foundational time of building your life based on the Word of God. Find a Sunday school class. Come at 10 o'clock. I believe it will change your life. Back it up 1 hour. Come to Sunday school. In our Sunday school hour, I've been teaching on the basic training lessons, which we do every single year, about salvation, about Bible and prayer, stewardship. We'll cover that next week, so you'll get a double whammy on that. So I'm getting ahead of the game for you. Talking about marriage, family, your home, all the different areas of our lives, to build your life on the Word of God. Today we taught about the subject of the Bible. Build your life, Christian, on the Word of God right here. Amen? You will never be disappointed building your life on the Word of God. Never. Build your foundation, your life, your beliefs, and your practice on the Word of God. I want to give you a few challenges today about stewarding your finances. First of all, I want to ask you to turn over to Malachi chapter number 3. It's just one book back from where you are. That should make it a little bit easier. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Malachi 3 and verse number 8, and we'll read down to verse number 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8, reading down to verse number 10. And the Bible says this, will a man rob God? Anyone like to be robbed, stolen from? We came home one day, our first house that we were able to purchase, and we came home, had an open carport, And we had items stored that we didn't have a garage. It was a little bit under a 1,000 square foot house. There didn't have a shed or anything. And we had some things parked in the garage in there, lawn equipment and stuff. And I came back. We drove in the garage one day and something looked empty. There was something not there and I couldn't figure out what it was. And someone had stolen my lawnmower that was given to me because I couldn't afford to buy a lawnmower even. And someone gave it to me and I came home and saw my lawnmower had been, I'd been robbed, stolen. I was ticked off. I was so mad. And I think we got groceries. I had to leave. And I walked off. You know, I walked up and down the street. And I thought, if I find the person that stole my lawnmower, like they were going to be pushing it down the street for some reason, I don't know. I never got it back. It's still stolen. If you took it, please return it. Hey, I don't like to be robbed. I'm not going to come to your house and take your items. You know, you feel violated. Someone took something that you purchased, you bought, came to your home or property, or broke into your car and took your items. But could you imagine robbing God? I don't want to rob another person, but I truly do not want to rob God. It says this, will a man rob God? It says, yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? It says, in tithes and offerings. It says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation, because... it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, to the church house, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon, there may be not room enough to receive it. God gives us a challenge here in the book of Malachi about the subject of obedience in the area of tithing, but in the area also of blessing and cursing in our lives. Christian, today, does that money, does it run your life? Could you imagine if someone came to you and said, I want to give you $100. I want to give you $100. You think, wow, praise the Lord, great, why not? They said, but I only ask for you to give me 10 of that back. Wouldn't that still sound like a pretty good deal? Now, you know where I'm going with this, so don't get too excited with the illustration quite yet. But if God has given us everything that we have, and He has, right? God has given us everything that we have, every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. Everything we have comes from God. So if God says, I want to give you something, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And He said, I'm just asking for 10% of that back in your tithe. You think, why are you taking my money? No. God's not taking it. He's giving it to you. He's just asking for a portion of it back. How is our mindset in the area of our giving to the Lord? Again, don't tune me out. We have a few more minutes of the message left today. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse number 38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the Bible says, for with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Many times we think, I've got to get everything I can and shove in my pockets. You ever seen that kid that got some kind of a treat to eat? The candy. And instead of eating one piece at a time like a normal person would do, they decide, I'm going to shove everything in my mouth all at once like it's going to run away if they don't eat it. Now, if you have a sibling, they may take what you have if you don't shove it all in your mouth right away. I read before, it said something about, you know what like having a sibling is like. If you're not even hungry, but you see something in the fridge you want to eat, and you eat it just so that they don't get it next after you. That's what having a sibling is like. I'm not hungry, but I don't want my sibling to eat it. Like that kid, I'm going to shove it all in my mouth, all in my pockets, get all that I can, or else someone's going to take it. And many times that's what we do, is we say, I want to get and take all that I can and not let any of it go. I'm going to keep it all so that I don't have to lose any of it. You know, the Bible says that if you try to keep your life, you're going to lose it. You try to get everything in life and hold on to it, it's going to pass away. But the Bible says to give, and it shall be given unto you. The Bible says this, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. You know, all that stuff, the junk in your garage, the stuff in your backyard, you know, all the stuff you've accumulated, nice things, blessings from God, you're not taking any of that to heaven. You're not going to take any of that with you. All the stuff that we live every day for, to try to build up the possessions or the money and the account, whatever it may be, all the stuff that we're living for today is going to mean nothing for eternity. All the stuff that many people live for on a daily basis. I can't wait till I get this and it'll make me happy. You know, things don't make you happy. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, being right with God and then content with what God has given to me, the Bible says, is great gain. It says, with food and raiment, let us therewith be content. How is your relationship with your finances? Are you right with God in that area in your life? You know that God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you in your life. I want to give you a few points today and try to help you in some areas that I believe would help us to be right in the area of stewarding our finances. Remember, a steward, it's about ownership. God owns it, not me. If we have the understanding right, stewardship is about God owns it. The understanding that as a steward, I'm responsible to God. I'm accountable to the Lord. Let me give you a few points today that I hope and believe will be a help to you today. Remember this, as I mentioned already, everything that I have came from God. In the area of finances, everything that I have has been given to me by God. That job that I have, that's given to me by God. The car that I have, given to me by God. The house, all the possessions that I have. You know this, that if God has given me everything that I have, God could take it all away in a moment if He wanted to. You think, well, I've got insurance and I've got all the stuff and I'll protect myself. Yes, I get that. But everything that I have has been given to me by God and also could be taken away from me by the Lord as well. Let's understand the principle first that everything I have came from God. Amen, church? All right, good. You're still with me. Praise the Lord. Everything I have has been given to me by God. Read in the story of the book of Job. Job was a perfect, upright man, feared God and eschewed evil. He was blessed. He was wealthy. He had possessions and servants and cattle and sheep and all the things, the blessings, all the things in life. Not against things. They're not wrong to have. But the Bible says that Satan came and he came to challenge the Lord and said, "Can I take away from Job?" And God said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" And he said, "I'll take my hand off of Job." And what did Satan do? Killed all of his children. Killed all of his children's. Took away his possessions. He lost everything that he had that God had given to him in one day. That's what Satan would love to do. That's the frailty of life. And he took it all away. And then what did Satan do? He said, "Well, if you give me his health as well." And God took his hand off his life for his health, and he had boils all over his body. Everything that he had seemed to be taken away from him. But remember this, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. There was a time in Job's life where, yes, he went without that Satan took that away. God allowed that to. But at the end in the story of Job, that God gave that all back to him. He blessed him more in the end than he ever did at the beginning. Why? Because everything he had came from God. Do you have that understanding today that everything that I have is the Lord's? When it comes to the area of finances, understand that it's from God. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. It changes your perspective completely. Number two about stewarding your money is this. Everything that I have should be used to glorify God. Everything that I have should be used to glorify God. So here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean I get to give this part of money to the Lord and the rest I get to keep for myself to do whatever I want with it. That's not what it means, does it, church? No, it means that I should use everything that I have to manage to be a good steward, to use for the glory of God. The Bible says to do all to the glory of God. Everything in your life, to do all to the glory of God. Are you glorifying God in your finances? And giving to God, you say, "Well, I've given God this portion, but the rest I'm keeping to do what I want. And I can live as sinful as I want or as selfish as I want." That's not what it means. Everything that I have should be used to the glory of God. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a whole lot of wickedness going on in the world today. There's a whole lot of wickedness. People that use their possessions, their money, all the stuff they have to live wicked lifestyles away from God. I think of the story of the prodigal son. And he came to his father and he said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me." Because he wanted to go make wholesome, godly, right choices with his finances, didn't he? And the father gave him the portion of his goods and he went to the far country. He went to a picture of the world and he wasted his substance, the Bible says, with riotous living. Lived a wicked life with all that he had. He wasted it all. He wasted his inheritance. He wasted his testimony, his relationship with his father. He threw it all away for a fun time. The world's doing that today, isn't it? You look around. Just live it up. Get all that you can. Have all the fun that you can get. He wasted it all. And what happened when he used all that he had for his pleasure? Well, it left him in a pig pen, didn't it? It left him looking at the pig's food, and he said he would fain have filled his belly with the portion of that pig's food there, the husk that the swine did eat. And then all of a sudden he came to himself, and he said, "How many of my father's servants have food and clothes and shelter?" He said, "I'm going to go home to be with my father." So many times we say, "Well, God, I want to take what I have and use it however I want." No, the Bible says to do all. Amen? Do all to the glory of God. Are you glorifying God in the area of your finances? Thirdly today, I want to be blessed by God. I want to be blessed by God. Again, many times we think the more that I keep, the more that I hold on to, the more blessed I'm going to be. Quite the opposite. The more that I give back to God, the more that I give to others, the more that God gives back to me. I read the verse already in Luke 6:38. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again." See, when you give to God, understand this, God wants to give back to you. Amen? When you give to God, God gives back to you. There's sometimes with our kids, we'll give them something. You know, buy them a snack or a treat or give them something. They say, "Hey, can Dad have a bite?" And they go, "No, it's mine." I'm like, "I bought that for you. I just gave that to you. I'm not asking for the whole thing back. Just give me one piece. Give me a little bite." And sometimes I don't even want it. I just want to see if they're going to give it to me. If they'll do that, they say, "Who wants to give Dad a treat?" And say, "I don't want to do it." And say, "Oh, I'll do it." I said, "Oh, that is so great. I love you. Thank you so much. I've given to you. I'm asking for just a little bit back." See, God has blessed us so much, hasn't he, church? Is anyone here blessed today? Amen. God has blessed us so much. Again, many times we think, like, "Oh, I have to give back to God. Oh, you know, the tithe. Oh, the offering plate. Here it comes." Listen. This isn't about pastor trying to get rich or the church trying to get rich. Understand this, though, that Shasta Baptist Church is 100% funded by the giving of people right here in Shasta Baptist Church. Amen? Right here. See, when I give to God, God said, "Oh, I want to give back to you." Amen? Say, "Oh, I don't want to give." Kind of like that kid. I don't want to share with you, Mom or Dad. God says, if you give to me, he said in Malachi chapter 3, he says, to prove me now. He says, prove me. If you give, he said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. Picture it. I'm going to open the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour out a blessing on you. He's going to pour that blessing upon you in your life when you are obedient. And he says, so that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Anyone here like to be blessed? Right? You'd like to be blessed by God? You know, one of the biggest areas you can choose to be blessed by God is being obedient to God in the area of your finances. God said, if you obey and you give, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. But on the opposite side, it says this. But he said, if we don't give, he says, you're cursed with a curse. Now, we have a choice of obedience or disobedience before the Lord in the area of our finances. Are you obedient to God today? Are you obedient in the area of your giving to the Lord? Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You say, so pastor, if I give, God's going to give me everything that I ever wanted. No. No. But God's going to bless you, and it may not always be in the area that you expected, but God may bless you in many other areas in your life as well. The blessings of God. I'm not giving so I get. But God has promised if you give, God wants to give back to you in return. How many times do we live selfish lives before the Lord and say, God, I don't want to give. And the Bible says the Lord loveth a what? A cheerful giver. Say, oh, I have to do it. You know, kind of like your kid, you tell them to obey, you know, take out the trash, you know the illustration. And they go stomping and slam the door behind them. You think, oh, what an obedient child they are. I'm so proud of you for obeying just as I wanted. Did you want them to just obey or to have a good attitude obeying with it as well? You know, we get to give to the Lord's work. Hey, laying up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Hey, that dollar you go to buy some food, it's going to last for just a moment. Paying the bills, that bill's coming again next month, but the treasures you lay up in heaven. When you get to give to the work of the Lord and you get to see how God uses your finances to get the gospel out in Redding, California, to see buses running, to see Sunday school classes and nurseries and buildings that you have helped to use for an eternal work, what a blessing that is to get to be a part of God's work. Amen? And God says, when you give, I'm going to bless you in return. He says, prove me. Prove me. Hey, if God says, prove me, He's going to come through every time. Amen? If God says, prove me, He's going to come through. You've been there just as much as I have. And I'm not preaching this to you, but I'm preaching it to myself. There's been times where you say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to give, but I can't give this week. Lord, if I give, I can't pay the bill that's coming up on Tuesday. Lord, I can't give of my tithes, that 10% that God has commanded, not asked. God said, prove me. You ever given and say, God, I'm giving out of obedience and by faith, but God, I really need you to come through for me. Have you ever given and God has proven himself faithful and true? I'll try that one again. Have you ever given and God has proven himself faithful and true in your life? I mean, has God ever taken care of your needs? Right? You've got clothes in the closet. You've got food in the cupboards. You've got a car that runs. God has blessed us way more, even just with earthly things, right? So much more. But then we think, God, you can't touch this area of my life. Many times the finances, that's the untouchable area. Don't talk about it. Maybe you sneak out a side door because you don't want to shake my hand going out through the front door today. And if you go out a side door, that's fine, okay? You say, I'm not talking. That area, I think people would probably rather hear a message on hell than on finances, but you got this one today. In our finances, right? It's an important area of life, isn't it? You go to work every day because finances are important, right? You pay your bills, it's important. You don't pay the bills, you're not keeping the house or the car, whatever it is. Hey, but if you want God's blessings in your life, if you want to be right with God in your life, how's your finances? You ever sit down and do a budgeting? Oh, I need to save this. I need to plan for that. Do you plan to be blessed by God and being obedient and giving to the Lord? A tithe is a 10%, giving back to God what He has already given to you. He's just asking for a portion of it back. That's how God's work continues. It's laying up treasures in heaven. Laying up treasures in heaven. Hey, don't live for this earth. Don't live for the pleasures and the things that are just going to pass away. Live for eternity's sake. You're laying up treasures in heaven. Laying up treasures in heaven. Is your heart right with God in this area? It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of submission. It's a matter of blessing before the Lord. With head bowed and eyes closed, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be obedient in the area of our giving, to lay up treasures in heaven, to be right with you. Lord, you have blessed us so much more than we would ever, could ever deserve or ever ask for. Doesn't mean that we don't ever have a need or a want, of course. But Lord, you blessed us with every good thing in our lives. Every good thing. Help us, Lord, to realize that the gifts you have given to us are to be used for your honor and for your glory. Didn't preach about it this morning, but do you know for sure that if you died today that you go to heaven? Have you been forgiven? Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that he was buried and rose again 3 days later to be the full payment of your salvation? If you don't know you're saved today, that's the most important need today, your soul. Do you know that you'll be in heaven someday by trusting in Jesus Christ?